We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Grace, how sweet.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus coming to you. And we're just pleased to know that God is still on the throne. And he is in control of all things and will be. And even to the end, he shall exist and none shall defile him. He is God in the beginning and he's God in the end. As Jesus declared, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So my friend, today, if we would look into the scriptures and believe what it says, these people that goes around teaching that there is three separate gods, and each one's the Father, one's the Son, and one's the Holy Ghost, we would find that all three in this, according to the Word of God, consist in Jesus Christ. He was from the beginning and the end and all in between. He is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. All things was created by him, and without him there was nothing created that was created. So why should we seek after some of these people that comes around and said God had gave them a translation of, you might say, of all things above all that what the apostles have wrote, even to what he said himself. So these people that's going around teaching this is not of the God of creation, but is the God of this world, and it comes to deceive, lie, and kill. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is plain and simple, as Paul has put it, and as the apostles have put it. Even Jesus there was answered the apostles there one time and said, whom do men say that I am? And some of them said, you're the prophet, and some this and some that and one thing or another. But he said, now whom do you say that I am? Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ is that which we worship there is the anointing. Jesus is his name. And as in the Old Testament, he was declared his name by many different names. But my friend, when it came to be for you and I, of today, salvation can only be by the name of Jesus. So we're going to try to bring some scriptures to you and let you go from there and search it out for yourself. If you have a Bible with a concordance in it, you search out the scriptures. You will find that the Word of God bears record that God was manifested in the flesh and seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in this world, and received up into glory. So as we go and you go to looking for these things, as I give the scriptures to you, then you prayerfully seek after the kingdom of God through faith and believing in what the Word of God says, not what somebody else, not even what I say. If I say something different from what the Word of God said, believe the Word of God. As Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And if I don't follow Christ, you follow Christ. That's what his definition was, and that's what we need to do, to follow Christ. Christ is the anointing God, God invisible, and he created all things through Jesus Christ. So as we go into it, well, I want you to have your Bibles open and look into it, write the scriptures down, and search them out for yourself. But as we pray one for another, I just encourage you, my friend, read your Bible. Find out what's going on in the Word of God, and to know then that you can rest assured that your salvation is secured in Jesus Christ, not in some foreign subject somewhere or another that somebody's come up with and tried to distort the Word of God by the God of this world, the devil himself. So we're going to pray, and God will guide you and lead you. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your truth in Christ Jesus. We thank you for that you was manifested in the flesh, came to die for us on Calvary's cross, taking our sins and our iniquities and bearing them to the cross. You were obedient even unto death, death on the cross, to die for our sins and give us that opportunity for eternal life, life eternally with thee. So we just give you the praise and the glory for it, all in the precious name of Jesus. And we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here's my wife here. She's got something other for you here. So, your sister Sarah.
Well, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for this opportunity again that we can share with you what the Lord has laid on our hearts. And if you would like to have the scriptures, you can't write them down fast enough or whatever, you can email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com, or you can get us at www.phoenixbroadcasting.com, and that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our purpose is not to be rich or anything. That's why we don't ask you for money. We just want you to be blessed and get you a closer walk with the Lord as we see the end time is approaching. A lot of people don't believe it. They think that, you know, we're going to be here for another 1,000 years, but I don't think so. But I want to share with you a poem this afternoon that has a lot of merit. It has a lot to think about. But if Jesus came to your house, if Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give him your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve to him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your own home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in, or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? Would you turn off the radio and hope he hadn't heard, and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put your hymn books out? Could you just let Jesus in, or would you rush about? And I wonder, if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read? And would let him know how the things on your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you plan to go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends? Or would you hope they'd stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus Christ came in person to spend some time with you. And imagine this. Jesus, the Lord of the universe and creator of all things, chose to dwell among us. And that's in Colossians 2. 16 and 17. He left heaven and came to this earth, as John says in John 1 and 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus chose to become involved with all who will come to him, and even more significant for those of us who have received his redeeming love, the Holy Ghost has now set up residence in our heart to comfort, counsel, convict, lead, and teach us. When you think of the babe in the manger, remember how special it is that he not only moved into our neighborhood, but that he did it so he could bless us with the intimate privileges of his residence within us. Jesus came to earth for us so we could go to heaven with him. And if there's anything we read or anything, you know, let us know. If you don't like what we read, what we say, just email us at ecomptone.com and www.phoenixbroadcasting.com, and we'll be glad to help you in any way you can. The Lord is so good, and he loves you. No matter where you are, what you do, he came to save you. All you have to do is repent. Today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. Here's Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. It's good to know that God, in all of his wonders and his glory, all his wisdom and understanding, that he knew what it was going to take to provide salvation for mankind since the fall in the garden. We read in the beginning there that Adam was created and God made him in his own image and in his likeness. But because of one thing that God told him not to do, he disobeyed and brought us into odds with God. In other words, broke the fellowship that he intended to have. Because he came in the cool of the day and walked with Adam in the garden, and they had fellowship. But since the fall there in disobedience, it brought a relationship there that was not God's will for to be involved with someone that would be disobedient. He asked Adam to be what he was supposed to be. He named all the animals and the things of the world, and he was there until the fall in the garden, and he brought a division between God and man. So Jesus had to come to void that gap and to bring us back into the presence of God through his Spirit. Paul was a man that was, well, he went about persecuting the people that called upon the name of the Lord, that was Christians that they called them back in that day, and they was first called Christians at Antioch. So Paul went about to try to persecute them because he thought he knew the best for all people, because he was taught much of the law at Cornelius' feet, but he knew nothing about Jesus Christ. He had heard about him, but he knew nothing about him as far as personal relationship for him. But he wanted to be obedient to his superior, so he went about to persecute the church of God. So my friend, today there's a lot of people out there that are persecuting the people that believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Some have, he's three, and some says he's two, and many others say different things and everything, and they got his name this. But Jesus is the name that was declared unto Mary, that God visited her there in the little town called Bethlehem of Judea and told her that she would bring forth a child. And therefore, his name was to be called Jesus, and he would save his people from their sin. So any other name that's been given by any man that's breathed the breath that God gave him, walks in this land as a human being, declares another name, he don't know what he's talking about. The Father and the Son are created, therefore they are one according to the word of God. God created the heavens and the earth. The invisible God said in the first chapter there of that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and all the things that he done it, he spoke it into existence by his word. The first chapter of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on to the 14th verse, and he said there that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So how else could it have been except it be in the Word was made flesh in Jesus Christ? The invisible God became put on the robe of flesh to where he could come and die for yours and my sins and bring us back into the place that we're in, that we can have that eternal life, and therefore give him praise and honor. Because, my friend, today, if we look into the world today and we want to look at this situation that we're into today, that we know that we are in the last days. So God came into this world to die for you and I, that we could live and have life more abundantly. Not to say that we can have everything our little heart's desires and be an abundant life, but we can have life abundantly with him in the end time, that when he comes and sets up his kingdom here on earth. And it will transpire, my friend. May in yours and my time, and maybe be later, but nevertheless, it will come to pass. If you think about in reading in the Word that how Jesus spoke to the apostles back in 70 AD, that the temple that they admired such great things with such a structure that it was and everything, and how beautiful it was. And he said, this thing would be torn down and every stone cast and separated and everything and all. In 70 AD, it happened when Tiberius of the Roman soldiers came and tore it all down. My friend, today, the prophecy of Jesus saying then had been fulfilled, and has come to the time that when he spoke about in the days of Noah, well, he was there. He knew what was happening in the days of Noah. He spoke about them days of marriage and giving in marriage and all sin running rampant and people doing all kinds of things to satisfy their own thoughts that they should be this or that and their will. But also he made mention there about the time of Noah and the time of Lot. We're looking at now these things being fulfilled, and that was prophecy over 2,000 years ago that he spoke about these things, that these people, that the Word of God calls it an abomination in his sight, that these people that do these things, same-sex marriages and all that, and even to them that have pleasure with them or them that takes part in their folly, whether they actually do the act or not, but they find favor, they coerce them, and then they find the favor to do them favors and everything, God said they're all worthy of death. And these things will be, my friend, according to the Word of God. And so we need to understand who God is. God was manifested in the flesh to come to die for yours and my sin. He put a judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah and told them there, and he's not going to call them back and apologize to them. But this nation that we live in, we call the United States of America, and not only here but other place, nations of the world, is finding that it's pleasurable to them, or that they can have pleasure in seeking after this abominable way that God called it an abomination of this man with men and women with women. And he's going to make a judgment on it. He's already judged it to be wrong, and he's not going to change his mind. It's still wrong, and God's going to make a judgment. But think about it. When all these nations and the countries around about us, he all go in favoritism of all this here sin and things that are an abomination in the sight of God, what will take place? God's going to bring his wrath upon them that do those things, and he's going to bring a destructive force upon the world that forgot to serve God. And we need to understand that we're either for him or we're against him. Any spirit that says that Christ didn't come in the flesh, or that God didn't come in the flesh, is an antichrist. So all antichrist is going to be defeated and cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's why I encourage you to read your Bible. Don't take every Tom, Dick, and Harry's word for it, not even mine, if you want to call me Tom or Dick or whatever. But nevertheless, believe what the Word of God says, and if you can't believe it, then, my friend, you are in dark trouble, big-time trouble. But it's time we begin to believe the Word of God, because it is written for yours and my understanding. He's written there for yours and my salvation. It's written there for the purpose to bring us into the kingdom of God through faith and believing and trusting in the finished works of Calvary through Jesus Christ. He entered in through his own blood, the veil, and carried it and placed it upon the mercy seat of God, that sacrifice for you and I, not somebody else, not some other God, some other man or something, but God himself manifested in the flesh according to the scriptures. We read in Galatians, the first chapter, and 16, he said, "For by him were all things created and are in heaven and in that are in earth, visible and invisible, where they be thrones or dominions or principalities of power. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body of church, body the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and have made peace through his blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, then that you were sometimes alienated from an enemy unto your own mind by wickedness works, but now had he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, he presented you holy and unblameable and unprovoked in his sight." My friend, it's just not any way possible that you could have took the invisible God and nailed him to the tree. And if some of these people goes around and said that Jesus was created just like you and I, then it would have been absolutely impossible for his blood to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. That which was perfect without spot or blemish, that which was there to die for yours and my sins, was the Son of God, God incarnated in the flesh. The flesh was the Son of God, and God dwelt in him. All the fullness, as according to the scripture, Timothy 3 and 16 says, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus. So where is this other party at? If it's all in Jesus Christ, then Jesus died for our sins, and he is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. All three are one, not several different ones, but one. So why do we seek after something that come up way out of line with the church, the consulate, where years ago when Constantine brought it forth, the Council of Churches at Nice, and brought it into a play that there was three in the Godhead? My friend, there's only one. The Bible only speaks of one, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the one that brought forth salvation unto you through his death. God manifested in the flesh to bring unto you salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. So we understand by the reading of the word that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, came and died for yours and my sins to bring us into the fellowship with God, back as Adam disfellowshipped us in the garden. Jesus came and suffered death on the cross to bring us back into the fellowship. And when Jesus told the apostles there, He said, it's expediently that I go away, for if I not go away, the Comforter will not come. But I'll go and pray unto the Father that he has sent you another Comforter in my name. So when we come to the place there, that Comforter is the Spirit of the living God. You can't see him, my friend, but he can be there. You can't see the breath that you breathe, but you can't live without it. So he that is dead in his sin and his trespasses has not been born again of the water and of the Spirit through Christ Jesus, then you're still dead in your sins. And without life in you that he gives, we're dead in our trespasses. So Jesus came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. He came and he died for yours and my sins. You and I owed a debt that we couldn't pay. He paid a debt that he didn't owe. It was like the just give for the unjust. Therefore, I want you to understand that when the Jewish people there cried out there to Pilate, when it was a time of the year that they would release someone from prison, and whomever the people chose, they chose Barabbas. Well, the world today is choosing the murderers, the fornications, and all these things is an abomination in the sight of God. They choosing that rather than choosing God himself. Well, they said, away with this man, crucify him, but give us Barabbas. That's what the world is saying today. They're giving me Barabbas. Give me the world. Give me the murderers. Give me this and give me that. Let me be first. But Jesus Christ came. He was first beyond all other things, and he'll be there all in the middle and to be the last. There ain't no other Savior going to come after Jesus Christ. He came to die for yours and my sin. He came and he died for yours and my sin. He came and fulfilled all that the prophets had wrote about him, and that he was to come and be born of a virgin, and therefore he was to come and to save his people from their sin. All these things have been fulfilled, my friend, and the things that we're living in today is being fulfilled in yours and my sight. Right today, the things that were spoken about, God himself in Jesus Christ spoke of the day that you and I are living in as the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're living in that time. We're seeing it come to pass. So when it all comes and be to a full head, God's going to smite the earth with a curse. He came to bring victory to us. He came to bring peace to us. He came to give us life eternally, but he's going to come and smite the earth with a curse because the world has went by the way of Cain, unbelief and disobedience unto him and to his ways and his will, to such a so that we have come to the place to where we practically deny that there's even a God that exists. We've taken him out of our school because of somebody wanted to say that he doesn't exist. They said there's no God and all this, and you believe the lie. And if you believe a lie, you'll be damned along with them, my friend. Because the devil came and told Eve a lie, and she believed it, and they was cast out of the garden. That was a type of utopia, a type of heaven, you might say. And when they were cast out for one time of disobedience, then what do you think that God's going to do to the world of sin that's just absolutely don't believe and trust in him at all? And we're living in the world, and you think that this world is an utopia? You're far from it, my friend. It's far from being anything what God intended for it to be. The people today have sought after all kinds of riches, all kinds of things, and they do all kinds of things. And they disallowed God to have any part in most of them's life. Get them out of the schools. They kill the unborn babies and all these things. And when they get into trouble, they cry out to a God they don't know. And said, God, have mercy. Look at when they destroyed the towers in New York. They said, God bless America. God bless America. Not too long after that, they're right back in the same old rut because they don't believe that God has blessed this nation. They've come to believe a curse on it because of their unbelief. Except you believe that he is was and always will be, you will die in your sins. You got to accept the report that Isaiah made mention about in Isaiah 53, and they said, who has believed our report? Who has the arm of the Lord been revealed? My friend, the report has been given. Do you believe that Jesus Christ came into this world to save a sinner? Do you believe that God placed something or other here that would you and I could believe in? His only begotten. He came in the flesh to die for your sins, and yet you don't believe. You will die in your sins except you believe that he is he. But many people today is going down the broad road of destruction simply because of their unbelief. They won't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Neither will they accept the preaching of the Word of God to be the truth. But they'll make up a lie, and people believe it. They follow them down then. Jesus spoke to them and said, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. The Pharisees and the scribes, they taught one thing, and they said, well, we're Abraham's seed. And Jesus told them, he said, if you'd have been Abraham's seed, you would have loved me. And they said, we have Abraham to our father, so we was born free. But they were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. They were born in the place that were in the flesh was sinful. It needed to be changed. It needed to have a Savior. And God manifested in the flesh came to redeem us from the fall in the garden, from our sins, in other words, from our disobedience, that we might believe upon the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth, that we may have light and have it more abundantly. So it's up to you. When Elijah took the things up there and he got all of Baal's priest and them together there and said, if Baal be God, then serve Baal. But if God be God, then serve God. But the one that answers by fire, let him be God. They agreed to that, and God answered Elijah's prayer. He'd come down, burn up the sacrifice, and he burned up the wood, burned up the stones, and lapped up the water that was poured there. 12 barrels of water in a draft. That's a lot of water to be poured out on the ground, but it lapped up the water in the trench that was around about it. But the Baals of God, Baal's gods was worshiping him, and nothing happened. They cut themselves and ramped and raved until the time of the daily sacrifice. And Elijah just called upon the God of heaven, and the fire came down. Oh, my friend, the day when the Spirit of God came into this world, on the day of Pentecost, the fire came with it to burn out all the impurities in us, and we'll allow the Spirit of God, the truth of God's Word, to come down into us and be there and dwell in us. It'll burn out all the impurities, all of the doubt and the unbelief, and bring forth God's truth into us by the way of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. I know that a lot of people run on some stuff that goes around. They call it the Holy Ghost. But believe me, my friend, if you have the true Holy Ghost, you'll know the difference between them babbling off something or other that we're in, that this here charismatic faith come in and said that we can teach you how to speak in tongues. It's a lie out of hell, and the devil's the father of it. God gave it a tongue, and it only speaks the things and articles of God which will bring you in to the faith and believe in Jesus Christ, Lord of lords and King of kings. We got to understand that the devil, of the god of this world, is out to deceive, seek, kill, and destroy. But the God of creation came to that you could have life and have it more abundantly. He died to make it possible. The devil can't die for your sins. He was cast out of heaven and cast into darkness. And there he knows that his time is what his destination is. But my friend, while there's life in your breathing and ability to think for yourself, then you have an opportunity for salvation. But if you pass up that, as Cain did, he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. And many people today are selling their birthright out for the material things of this world, for the things that money can buy, but money cannot buy salvation. You were not bought, neither were I bought, with the things of this world, such as silver and gold, but we were bought by the precious blood of Jesus that was shed there on Calvary over 2,000 years ago to pay yours and my sin debt, that we could have life and have it more abundantly. That's why I encourage you to read your Bible. Look into the scriptures to find out the truth of God's word. Believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can have eternal life. You, of course, this old flesh is going to die. Sure, it's going to die. It's going to fall away, even before the rapture or during the rapture, as they call it. Rapture is not found in the word, but the catching away of the bride of Christ in the clouds of glory. Some people's got bukoodles of resurrection. He even said the one that the saints of God were seen walking in the streets of Jerusalem were in when the Lord was crucified. They say that was the first resurrection. That's not the one that Revelation's speaking about, my friend. It was the one that Revelation speak about, the dead in Christ, when they hear the sound of the trumpet. When Jesus was crucified, there was an earthquake that taken place. The veil in the temple of the holiest of holies was ripped from top to bottom, and the graves of the saints was open, and many of them, it said, were seen walking in the streets of Jerusalem. But this revelation speaks about when they, even to them that are dead in Christ, they will hear the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel, and they will rise first, but them that remain to be alive shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together to be with the Lord. So that is the first resurrection that Revelation's speaking about, because them that were alive and then still in the flesh and breathing, they were not changed. They didn't ever go to meet the Lord in the air, but them that was arose from the dead at Christ's resurrection, they went on into the place where God got prepared. They're waiting in that place that we're in, that when the finalities come, that we'll all be gathered unto the Lord Jesus. His church, in other words, will be gathered unto him, his bride, the church of the living God, the church of which God purchased with his own blood. And many people today wants to go by the name of the denomination, but I'm telling you, my friend, it's all in Christ Jesus. It ain't over the name that hangs over the building to where you go in to worship, but it's that you worship him in spirit and in truth. You don't just go there because it's a church name, because it's in the scriptures. There's many of them called today that's not in the scriptures, but they call it a church of God. They call it that they're God's saints and everything. Truly, it's mentioned about the church of God in the Bible, but it's a church which he purchased with his own blood. He did not purchase an organization, my friend. He didn't die for the sins of this whatever might be in a building or something, if there be such a thing, but he died for yours and my sins. He died that he could purge us from our sins and bring us into the truth of the gospel, of the light of the gospel, rather, in Christ Jesus. He died for you and I, and not for some denomination or something or other. I know that the law requires it to be this and to be that, but what about God's laws? What about what he has to say? Have you read your Bible lately and see what he had to say about this thing? He's not coming back after a denomination. He's coming back after the born-again saints of God, the church, which he purchased with his own blood. So read your Bible, my friend. Let me encourage you to study it and to understand it, that it's not something other than it taken Einstein. Even to the Bible says that there's a way, even to a wayfaring fool won't err there in it. And I don't consider that none of you out there are wayfaring fools. I don't consider that you're all Einstein, because they claim that there's a thin margin between being an Einstein and an idiot. So where are you? We are both, we neither one call ourselves an Einstein, but we far from declare ourselves to be an idiot. So we're standing in the middle there somewhere or another. But if you don't believe that God came into this world to die for sinners, then you might be called a number of things at which end that may or may not comply to you yourself personally. But nevertheless, I've been called to many things, but that's all right. When Jesus calls me, you can call me gone. When the time comes that when his the sound of the trumpet, them are dead in Christ shall rise first. But them that remain to be alive, as I said a moment ago, will be changed. That's what I'm looking forward to. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Whether I'm asleep in the dust of the earth or whether I'll yet remain to be alive. He said we'll be changed from corruption to incorruption, from mortal to immortality, and there shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, we're looking into the scriptures there, and we know that all these things are true because I believe what the Word of God is. I believe it was put here for you and I that Jesus came into this world that he created in the beginning to die for yours and my sins. He said, I am not of this world. I overcome it. So we can overcome the world by through the him that had died for us, and he shed his blood that paid for our sins and our debt that we couldn't pay. But we can be still in the world, but not be a part of the world. The world seeks his own pleasure, but we seek after the kingdom of God in righteousness with praise and honor unto him that died for us. And we can have life more abundantly. But if you seek after the pleasures of life and seeking after the wealth of this world, and the Bible says that it'll all go up in smoke. Peter made mention about that the heavens shall pass away with a loud racket, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. So where will your silver and gold bring you to? Where will all the riches of this world get you to? It won't pay your way into the kingdom of God, but only through repentance and believing upon the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth, that God came into this world as a man to die for our sins, believing upon him, accepting him as our personal Savior, looking to him to be the author and the finisher of our faith, believing and trusting in the finished works of Calvary, trusting in that precious blood through faith, believing upon the only begotten of God, accepting it, repenting for our sins, of our sins, turning from our sins and walking in the ways of righteousness according to the word of God. And we can be saved, but we can't do it without repentance. We can't make it without we have him in our life. We can't get to glory by our own initiations and our own ways and our own will. We got to come into the will of God. You can't get there in a rocket ship, my friend. You can't get there with silver and gold. It's got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. According to Acts 2:38, Peter told him, he said, every one of them there, they believed and they were. He said, what shall we do that we might be saved? And he said, repent. Every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So there's only one baptism, one Lord, one faith, and we're baptized into one body, not into two separate ones or this or that. And some people teaching that God and the sun and the moon's like the Godhead. God is the Father, which is the brighter light, and the sun is the moon of the lesser light. It's a lie to hell, and the devil's the father of it. God was manifested in the flesh. He wasn't created as you and I were. If he was, his blood could not have paid for our sin. Plain and simple. We need to be that we came out from God. Jesus came out from God, and he told him, he said, I go unto the Father. He said, I came out from the Father and I go back to the Father. And that forth, he came to die for you and I. The Spirit God, the invisible God, was made flesh as he spoke to Mary and said that she would conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now, we know that most people refer to as a natural born Jew as being God's chosen people, which is true. But you recall that because of their disobedience and unbelief, had him crucified, they were broken off because Jesus told them that the kingdom of God would be took away from that generation and gave to another, which unto that Paul was give the word of God through to bring to us when he told them there that they declared themselves to be not worthy of it. So he said, I'll go to the Gentiles. He brought this unto us and the Gentiles received it. And they blessed the name of the Lord and they gladly received it. They was a law unto themselves. But the Jews couldn't keep the law that was given by Moses. They broke it often and was therefore. But I want you to understand that only through the faith in Jesus Christ being born again can we live according to God's plan of salvation. You can't do it in the flesh, my friend. The flesh is weak. But the Spirit is strong, and we, by His Spirit, that we can live the life that He chose for us to live, yet we live in the same. And it's not to say that we're perfect. No wise would I say that I am perfect, neither would I say that any other man that walks in this flesh is perfect. But He which was perfect came, was manifested in the flesh to die for our sins, and therefore He was obedient to the will of the Father, which was even obedient to the death on the cross, whereby He gave His life, shed His blood, that you and I could come to be a child of God. Them that have received Him through faith and believing in Him, He gave them power to become sons of God. Oh, my friend, it's all there in the Scriptures. All you have to do is to look into the book. And these Scriptures that we have gave you in Galatians 1 and 16, if you've got a reference Bible, or you can take John, the first chapter of John, and in the beginning was the Word, and you can go from there and you run the references and be faithful to God and asking Him to lead you and direct you in the way that it should be and help your unbelief and help you to believe and trust in the only begotten of God in the faith that you have, and increase it to wherein that you can believe what is written in the Word of God and believe and trust in it and come to the knowledge of the truth of which is in Christ Jesus. You won't go wrong. You will find that God was manifested in the flesh. You'll find that He was in the beginning and will be in the end. He's the one, when He comes on His throne, we're going to look on Him and He said that there's one God. When Jesus comes and takes His church, His bride out, then the Revelation speaks again. He was going to come back with on the white horse, and His faithful do follow Him. Them that are chosen, faithful, and come follow Him on white horses, and He's going to come and put an end to all sin and unbelief. He's going to bring and pass judgment upon all them. There's going to come a time, my friend, you're going to give a choice. You may face some kind of death, or you may have the opportunity to deny this Christ and you can live. Or if you accept Him, we're going to cut your head off or whatever like that, like they've been doing over there in the Far East here a while back. If you don't accept that Isaac type of thing and Islam and all, you claim to be a Christian, if you don't deny Christ, they cut the heads off and so on and so forth. It's going to come. It's going to come, my friend. And we need to look into the Scripture to find that wherein that if we are able to stand against the wiles of the devil, you'll only be able to do it through the grace of God and by His Spirit. As He said, when they come to give it a choice, in other words, you're going to deny Him or you're going to stand for Him. If you deny Him, you may save your life at that moment, but you'll lose it in the long run. But if you die for his name's sake, you will find life. You'll have life eternally. So it's up to us. It's your choice and my choice. As when Joshua brought the children of Israel to the banks of the river Jordan there before they entered into the promised land, he said, are you going to serve the God of your fathers on the other side of the flood, wherein there was all kind of corruption going on, as we have in the world today? Or are you going to serve the God of the new covenant, in other words? Are we going to just go our own way? But Joshua told him, he says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, my friend, it's your choice. Are you going to serve the God of eternity, the God that created it all, the man called Jesus, having him for your Lord and Savior? Or are you going to go back and divert back into whatever else is back on the other side of this river over there? Are you going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your personal Savior? Or are you going to go down in defeat, believing on this world and the men that come false teaching? Because they're out there. Jesus said that there would many come in his name, and there have. Many of them have even declared that when the day of the Lord is going to come and everything, all dead and gone. Some of them died with bad deaths. Some of them died in their sins for claiming that they knew more than God did, simply because they didn't understand the scriptures when God said that. Jesus told them, he said, no man knoweth the day or the hour. It's all kept to the Father. God himself knows the day and the hour. But in the fullness of time, my friend, when that time is in his time, which time is no value to him. It's a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. But when his fullness of time, he sent his son into this world to die for you and I. But in the fullness of time, he's going to come back again, and he's going to destroy it all and put up his kingdom, as Daniel seen the stone hewed out of the mountain without hands and smote the image of gold, silver, and bronze, and the brass, the bronze, and the iron, and the mixed with clay, and all is smoked at his foot, and it all disappeared. But that rock grew, and it filled the whole world, or the whole earth, and whatever you want to put it. That kingdom of God, that rock was Christ Jesus. The kingdom of God is at hand, my friend. It's up to you to believe and trust in it, to give him praise and honor, to repent, follow after Jesus Christ, and give him your praise and honor with thanksgiving and giving him the praise. People are looking forward to bowing down to the Christmas trees and passing out gifts and everything as it being the Lord's birthday. My friend, the truth of the matter is he wasn't born on December the 25th, but he was come into this world. He was before the world, was manifested and came into this world through a virgin birth, and he come to be ruler and king of kings and Lord of lords, and he will rule over the whole universe that he created in the time that he has chosen to be. It will all things be fulfilled, and he is coming soon. So look up. All the things that were spoke about is being fulfilled. So it's up to you and I if we're going to look to him for salvation, or are we going to go our own miserable way and die and go to hell and I'm miserable and all of that. I want to live for him. I want to have that gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. I want you to come along and go with me, you say. If I had the money to, like this man was going to give people a trip around the world with him, and I don't know how many went with him and everything, but evidently there may be a catch to his thing, but there's no catch to God's eternal life gift. All you got to do is give up your sins and the world, and you can have eternal life and an utopia, a place of peace and joy and love forevermore, wherein dwelleth righteousness. My friend, it's time that we begin to consider, where will we spend eternity? Read your Bible. Let me encourage you. Go to the Word of God and find out the truth and accept Him as your personal Savior. Repent and calling upon the name of the Lord and receive salvation through grace and through faith in Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed for yours and my sins. Give Him praise and honor, and you can have eternal life if you give up all this your old mess that's in the world today and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I see our time is gone, and we want to encourage you, read your Bible. Look unto the Lord for salvation, because there's no salvation in no other name except in Jesus. So we give you these things, and you take the scriptures and look them up and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that by these signs that are given unto us through the Word of God, that the day of the Lord is nigh and coming soon. So may God bless you until next time. Prayerfully seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, and there He will be found. God bless you.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31. 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.